Okay, so yes, this is the point where we look at what we have learned. So we've been looking at metta as a path to insight, a path to feeling, freeing ourselves at the deepest levels of that sort of that mechanism of clinging and grasping, yeah, that are the root cause of our suffering. Yeah? It's a path to the heart's release. So there are lots of ways in to insight, and you know, there are other ways on offer in retreats here at Taraloka and around the movement. But I hope you've had a chance to feel how approaching insight via metta, well, it can make that process a whole lot more sort of a whole lot warmer and more enjoyable, yeah, more sort of accessible somewhere, yeah, more heartfelt, actually, more connected. Actually, I think that when we approach it like this, it's in some ways more durable because it allows deeper levels of our being to come into play. Yeah, they feel free. They feel like they've got something to open into. Yeah, and they feel free to sort of release, blossom. Yeah. I think it's actually a very potent way in too. Sort of subtly potent. Because we think we're enjoying ourselves. Well, we are enjoying ourselves. It's funny, isn't it, how it can sometimes feel like hard work. So we started by opening our collective mandala of practice and surrounding ourselves with these beautiful walls of protection around Taraloka, you know, just sort of the lotus petals, the stable vajras, and the transforming wisdom flames. So that sort of, in a way, gave us permission almost to relax into that shared space of practice. We already started getting a sense of sort of co-creating the retreat, yeah, sort of affecting each other and being in each other's presence. Yeah. So we started by looking at metta with beings as reference, and that of course included ourselves. We explored various ways. We started by looking at that sort of at that basic closing mechanism, yeah, that was the root cause of our suffering. I think we've all sort of got that one, haven't we? Yeah. And we started to look at how to create the conditions, yeah, for that to open, for that to release, for that to free itself. And we saw the importance of just really sort of giving our experience that sense of spaciousness, that sort of sense of all the time in the world that it needs to be whatever it is. Yeah, we used our connection with the earth to really support that process, to sort of to stabilize us, to embody us, so that we could really come into connection with experience as it is, and not our sort of idea of what's going on. So then we can sort of we can start to Yeah, I can't stress it. It's often body work sort of seen as a sort of preliminary, you know, let's get us in the right state so that we can get on with the real stuff thing. But actually, it teaches our bodies, our beings, how to flow, actually, how to open, how to deeply listen, yeah? And that sensitivity, that sort of easy, alive listening carries, it sort of manifests all our metta in it, yeah? So through the body work that we did, through the dance, through the body meditations, we really began to see that sort of that space opening up, yeah, that spaciousness, that sort of learning not to fight experience and just really be in experience as it is and love it for what it is, yeah. So we looked at what the heart was like. We started to come into connection with that, that innate capacity to feel, yeah? We were using heart language, yeah? We started to sort of help everything to really come alive by using heart language to start to come into connection with our heart wish in a way, however unexpected that heart wish might be, however quiet or even contrary that heart wish might be. You know, we just started to come into connection with that. I want to say, actually, in this summary I'm doing here, I'm not going to directly talk about the rituals because Maitri Devi is going to talk about them tonight. But it was quite difficult preparing this, not talking about the rituals, because they were so intrinsic to the whole process. You know, we'd have the rusty old bit of metal, and you know, it was so visceral, that soft stroking of the rusty iron, you know, in terms of meeting whatever was. You know, it's almost difficult to talk about the process without talking about the rituals, but I just felt I had to sort of say that they were such an integral process of the whole thing for me, and they sort of, yes, they embodied what we'd been, you know, they really embodied and sent right through the being sort of what we've been talking about and exploring. So we explored our heart wish and heart language. We saw how we could rely on the natural process of the breath. Yeah? That thing we always do, breathing in and releasing. Yeah? We could rely on that to help us fully receive, fully take in, fully feel with and then also do that without becoming overwhelmed, without taking on the suffering, because we also had that sort of the lightness of the out-breath, the release, yeah? So we had that flowing, natural flowing momentum. So that enabled us to really sort of take things in more deeply because of the natural release aspect as well. Yeah. And some of us experienced this as well, this sort of natural cycle of flow in the dance session we did with Diyajyoti, which just again taught our bodies how to be in that flow. And then we had the beautiful lead metta practice, which Diyajyoti led, where we opened to how our the feelings in our body, how our body felt, and learned to sort of open those as we came into relationship with others. It really helped me see how you could bring these sort of techniques of sensitivity and opening into every stage of the metta practice. So we started to look at Tonglen, to the giving and receiving process, riding on the breath. We started to entrust ourselves, I think, to rely on that resonance with the deeper, vaster sense of heart release. Yeah, that is where the place where the practice is done from. Yeah, not the little me, yeah, who can't do it. Yes, actually, Diyajyoti brought out this phrase later in her talk, but there's that real sort of ability in the Tonglen to feel with, to quiver with, anukampa, you know, which is not the same as being sort of engulfed by, we're drawing, we're wishing that people's suffering is drawn out into joy. We're not increasing the net quantity of suffering in the world by dropping into that suffering. In the Tonglen, we're offering what comes to experience, what's inexperienced. We're offering whatever that is, whatever it needs, knowing that because we're so enmeshed, embedded, interconnected, inseparable really from each other, that in receiving, in connecting with, and in wishing for a specific suffering to be released, we're not only are we learning empathy, yeah, we're learning how to really, really do that quivering, really feel that, but we're also coming into a sort of connection with a mechanism of suffering that we all share, yeah, and we are we're opening to releasing that mechanism of suffering and thereby releasing reducing the suffering in the world actually. So even though it might be a very specific thing we're working with in ourselves or in other people, it's connected. It's you know, the faith is that this is going in the direction, however small and however long it might take, of reduction of suffering in the world. Yeah? We're doing this rather than this. Yes, so with our hearts touched and connected and wanting to really respond, Well, we also did that wonderful exercise, didn't we, where we sat opposite each other and saw what a difference having another person in front of each other. You know, it really enlivens, it quickens, it makes real the metta, you know, and there's a natural flow of response, isn't there, when you've got another living being opposite you. You have, you know, it's not something that we have to manufacture. Yeah, if we create the right conditions, it's there. Yeah. So with our hearts touched and connected, and wanting to respond, yeah, I think by the end of that phase, we did all really want to be mirrors for one another and show each other the beauty that we are, and I think actually we were doing that. You know, I just could see around the retreat centre we were all doing that all the time in little ways. So at this point we moved into the phase of metta with dharma as a reference. Yeah? Metta with dharma as a reference. We didn't leave the beings behind, they're very much with us. But the beings contain suffering. And that suffering, if we really care about them, needs to be dispelled, needs to be addressed. So we're now looking at how to really, really, really give people what they need, yeah, in the deepest way. So we saw how this basic mechanism of closing, of suffering, of refusing, yeah, is at the root of all suffering. Yeah? You know, we've got ignore, yeah, we've got to ignore, like refuse, which is the root of ignorance. Yeah, if we don't, you know, if we refuse it, then we're just creating tension and suffering in the world. So we saw that in this way, this is how we sort of we try, we attempt to solidify the sort of the flowing our flowing experience, to stick labels on the trillions of interwoven, interdependent, mysterious happenings, the sort of undescribable moments of experience. So to really sort of to free this, we need to really see it, yeah? And to see it, we need to turn our metta away from the particular, the specifics, the content. Now, the content has a really useful function because in the content we connect, yeah? We see the beauty, we see the unique beauty of everything, and our hearts fill and the response comes, yeah? So it's really important, this individual tasting and connection, and it's so wonderful and beautiful, yeah. But it isn't enough in itself. It's sort of it gives us the momentum to look deeper. So to do this, we need to shift our attention away from the particulars into the nature of that experience. Yeah. So think we've all got it, but I just wanted to. I was going to bring my iPad in. You haven't got you. No. Okay, so my iPad, yeah, it's got all these pixels on it, yeah, when it's alight, yeah, it shine, it, you know, you've got this image, yeah, and I can watch films on it. I haven't been watching films this week, I promise you. But I could if I wanted to. Actually, I couldn't. Haraloka's internet's so rubbish. But yeah. So And you know, if I were to watch a film on that, yeah, I'd be engrossed in the characters and what's happening, and oh no, please don't do that. You know, if you do that, that's going to happen, and it's all going to be a disaster. No, please don't do it. Yeah. So that is the content of experience. Yeah. But even as I'm watching that film, I know that that iPad is shining off beams of, you know, there's little pixels dotting, and that's all that's going on. Yeah. So I know that even while I'm watching the film. Yeah. But so what we're doing here, this is what we're doing in this phase, where we're turning our attention away from, you know, oh, why did he do that to her? And, you know, how is she going to get out of that one? You know, to the actual sort of, to the pixels, to what's behind, yeah? Because what's behind that, what that's sort of made up of, will show us. Well, it shows us what's common in experience. It shows us that sort of, it gives, yes, it shows us that flow, that sort of, all the trillions of conditions that make everything up. Sorry, I said I wasn't going to give you a new image in the summary, and I just have, but it's partly because there was a question about, just to clarify what content and nature and content was. So if we turn with metta to the nature of experience, yeah. So with metta means in exactly the same way as we've been practicing, you know, up to now, with real receiving, real releasing, real sensitivity, real spaciousness, yeah. We really enter into that fully. We feel, we quiver with all the conditions, all that, you know, all that sort of miraculous flow and interdependence, and then we start to sort of well, we start to shift the sort of the grasping tendency, the wanting things to be fixed and solid in a certain way and react like this and do this and stay in that place, and we start to sort of release that tendency and to sort of just love the beauty that it is, all the sort of flow, yeah. Until we get so deep, I think it came out in one of the reviews, just that we're loving. Well, we've got conditions loving conditions, yeah. So Diyajoti's talk really beautifully unpacked this. We saw how delusion, how this ignorance, this ignoring what is, this play of condition, ignoring the play of conditions, like her example of waking up with the cold and wanting it to be different, yeah. Causes suffering, yeah. And it's the wanting it to be different that causes the suffering. So the answer that the we know that the answer doesn't lie in the sweetness, but we go to the sweetness to try and get that comfort, security. So, but she was also encouraging us that freedom is possible when we don't resist this flow, yeah. When we're sort of open to the myriad of changing conditions, and you know, there were these beautiful examples, weren't there, of the prisoners who completely turn their lives around in prison by seeing, you know, seeing the nature of change in every moment. Yeah. And by not, she was explaining how by not seeing ourselves as part of the flow of conditions, we hold ourselves separate and don't recognize that other people feel this way too. Yeah. So like Kisagotomi, and the Tonglen practice, you know, if we quiver with this Anukampa, it brings us, it not only is a very beautiful thing to do, but it actually brings us in line with reality. Yeah, we're not fighting how things are anymore, because actually, you know, we are part of the flow of conditions. We're not these sort of separate, stodgy, isolated bits. So it really brings us into line with experience. And that when we let go of this clinging and self-reference, metta is the natural experience. It's the natural response. It's what's there. Yeah. So we can really trust that. And this is... this is Dharma with reference in its deepest sense. So Dharma here. So when in the morning we say only the Dharma can free me from suffering, we're not talking about, you know, this sutta or that particular thing that the Buddha said. We're talking about that not fighting of how things are, that not resisting the change, that not solidifying the flow, the conditions. That's what we're saying is the only thing that can free me and others from suffering. Yeah, it's really important to really register that. Otherwise, we can get caught up in, well, it's, you know, maybe they wouldn't understand it like this, or they wouldn't relate to it like that. But, you know, everybody wants to be free from that mechanism. Yeah. Okay. So, I think we all got a sense of how that. As we quiver more sensitively to the flow of conditions, this deepens our sense of connectedness and solidarity. Yeah? We're part of the play of conditions, part of life. So each phase is actually deepening the metta. It's more free to just express itself. It's more free to be itself. And in phase three, we actually realise that the metta is so much the natural response, in a way, that it's sort of, we don't even have to hold together the labels of, even the subtle labels that we've been holding together. This is where we moved sort of away from our so many words. We went into more silent phase, and we were back to the territory of the heart language. You know, we called on the language of the heart, because words can sort of keep us in the realm of concept a bit too much. To really encourage our hearts to find their release, to find their vastness, and to be able to be so confident and so full in that feeling that we don't actually... I mean, I don't know, maybe we did start to get a glimpse of this, but that we don't actually need even to think in terms of beings that we're sending the metta to. You know, it's just, you know, we can rely on the flow of the experience. And we don't even need to think in terms of you know, a me sending the metta. In fact, that becomes quite sort of irrelevant when we've got so sort of attuned to you know, the play of conditions. It sort of, yeah, it just becomes irrelevant. So we can drop this sort of sense of centrality of it all coming from me, yeah, and that frees it even more. And then we looked at hooking and unhooking, didn't we? And how we can just unhook from that need to have a being to send the metta to, yeah, and unhook from there need to be a me sending the metta, just so the whole thing just sort of deepens and strengthens, until ultimately we can unhook from even needing to think about it as metta. You know, it's just experience, it's just, you know, what's going on. So we may have had a glimpse of that, and we may occasionally in the future, and in, you know, we may get glimpses of this. A lot of the time, there's a resonance in our heart to that, but it's not a full experience. But what we can do is we can really entrust ourselves to it, yeah? And in that entrusting process, you know, it's really sort of, yes, I've had a glimpse of that. I know that sounds true. I know that resonates. I know that's possible, yeah? And in that entrusting, yeah, it sort of, again, it's more heart language. It's sort of, you're shifting away from the domain of concepts and needing things to be in a certain place, and that entrusting sort of allows that heart response to really flow and deepens the possibility of sort of being in the play of conditions in that way. Okay. I think that is it as far as the summary goes. As I said, Maitri Devi is going to take us through the ritual journey that we've had. That's so much part of that this evening. Are there any clarifications on that? Yeah, actually, I didn't say that the third phase was Dharma with no reference. Yeah, yeah, that's where we don't even need any reference at all. We've gone beyond there having to be someone that feels it or someone to receive our metta. But it doesn't mean it's still really strongly altruistic. It's still really strongly, there's a real response there. Yeah. Maitri Devi, any idea about that? There, you see, she's having faith.
Where would they be? I think probably on previous audio, but I'd need to check that.
Anything you two would like to add? It's impossible in a summary, you know, you can't do justice to everything. So.
I wrote a tiny little diagram, which I might put on the board, with just a few words and links. There's one little thing I wanted to add, which maybe is obvious, but it's something about when we're looking at the nature of things, it's showing us what makes us cling and showing us that it's delusion. And it's sort of showing that, seeing that connection between delusion, it's the delusion that leads to the cling, that leads to the cause of suffering, there is suffering, the delusion is the clinging, then the clinging comes back round and creates new delusion, and that's samsara, and that splits at the center.
Mm.
So, one little battle.
Thank you. Oh, I also meant to say that we had, amongst the practices I didn't mention, was we did a lot of walking meditation, which was rather wonderful. And we also did this practice of, I want to say uselessness, but just uselessness. And we didn't get a chance in the teaching sessions to sort of unpack that for you, but Diyajyoti's done this wonderful... succinct, pithy, perfect description of a uselessness practice, which is on the board. So if you want to go and have a look at that, please, please do.
And there's going to be some notes, Diyajyoti,
are you going to do notes?
Or will that just be available?
I can do, I haven't done them yet, but I can try to. Yeah. That would be.
Your notes, or is there an attachment to all that you have, all our email addresses, or is that just that might be easier, or is it?
I'll ask, I'll see the target, we'll talk about this.
Yeah,
that's
okay. We have a 20-minute break and then come back for a meditation at 12. Well, actually, it's an 18-minute break.
I like